So, well, that kirtan was so heart-touching, and we were chanting Krishna's names. Yes. That's what my mind is like most of the time. But who is that Krishna? And who is that Krishna? What does he look like to you? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one of his commentaries, says that each one of us are individuals. And we each have our individual qualities that no one else has. That's what it means to be an individual. And because Krishna has a relationship with all these individuals, he has unlimited qualities because there are unlimited individuals that he satisfies. And it's true that we all see through the eyes of our individuality. So please place your Krishna in your mind right now. That Krishna who you most relate to, who you find most beautiful, who you want to serve. Please place Krishna in your mind. But now, that Krishna is going to walk down the street, the road of Mathura. And the road is called Rajapat. It is the king's road. And when he first entered Mathura, he saw a washerman who he killed. And then he saw a weaver. And that weaver went into his house and brought the most wonderful jewels and embroidered them into this very, very soft bamboo. He brought his best jewels. That really intrigued me. He brought the best jewels that he had in his house to give to Krishna. He didn't take a few of the very, very best and hide them and bring Krishna the rest. He brought the very best that he had to offer to Krishna. And Krishna was so pleased with him. And one of our acharyas explains that he gave him the Sarupa Mukti, and right before everyone's eyes, he assumed the form, that weaver, that tailor assumed the form of a cowherd boy. And all the residents of Mathura were following Krishna as he walked down the king's road. Why? Because how could they not follow Krishna? He's all attractive, all beautiful, and he performs activities that are so wonderful. And then Krishna next walked into the house of Sudama, his friend. And when he walked into this Mali, this florist's house, he just looked, hinted at what he wanted. Because now he was dressed in wonderfully fancy clothes, and now he had wonderful jeweled soft ornaments, and he was now, by Sudama's gift, wearing the most beautiful flower garland of the most fragrant and softest flowers. But there was one thing lacking, and he was going to get that next. So Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys and all the people who wanted to see Krishna, who could not take their eyes off of Krishna, they walked further down the road. And by chance or by Krishna's arrangement, they saw a girl. And she was carrying anulep. Does anyone know what anulep means? Is this a Hindi word too? It means ointments, fragrant ointments. And she was very beautiful, but she was trivakra. She was curved. She had a hunchback, but had a beautiful face, but she was a hunchback. And she was carrying this tray of anulep, these fragrant ointments, and Krishna wanted to be decorated. So he said to Kubja, he said to her, "Oh, who are you? What is your name? And what are you carrying? And who are these things that you're carrying meant for?" And she said, she replied, and he said to her, and she replied, "My name is Trivakra, curved in three places, and Krishna is also, when he's standing playing his flute, curved in three ways," so there was something already. And he said to her, she said to him, "Who am I?" "I am a servant of Kamsa." But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that pause meant that I am your servant, because immediately she was attracted to Krishna. Again, how could she not be attracted to Krishna? "And I'm carrying these ointments, this analip, and they are meant for King Kamsa. And he is pleased with me because of the ointments that I make for him." She was saying also that I have not pleased him in any other way, hinting at her purity. And Krishna replied, "Oh, beautiful girl." She was a hunchback. But yet, Krishna was not being sarcastic and teasing her by saying, "Oh, beautiful girl," because very soon he was going to transform her into a fully beautiful girl. "Oh, beautiful girl, there is no one more worthy than ourselves, more worthy than these wonderful ointments, fragrant pastes and oils that you are carrying. Please give them to us." "And if you do so, I will give you a very wonderful benediction." And she immediately agreed. "There is no one more worthy of these ointments than you. Just see the different attitudes that different individuals have in their relationship with Krishna. One wants to give everything, one wants to give nothing, and some people want to hide a little bit and give a little bit. We can think what category we are in." And then she immediately began applying the ointments. Sometimes it is said she handed the ointments to Krishna and Balaram and they put them on themselves. And Krishna put on yellowish ornaments. His dark color was covered by yellowish anulep. And Balaram put on blue ointments. And very, very fragrant. But some of our acharyas say that she put those ointments upon them herself. And some of our acharyas say that just as what we call, when we put on the deities little decorations here, and just yesterday at Govardhan, at Sarabikund, I saw one of the cows that was there that had gopi dots. Actually, they were bull dots because he was a bull, but we call them gopi dots anyway. But right around his eyes, dots like this. The cows of Vrindavan are very special. So some of our acharyas say that she decorated Krishna. And don't mind. just this one part. Just sorry. But just when we decorate the deities, just to steady our hand, we go like this. Little, and she decorated Krishna like this. Different colors. And this gave her the opportunity to look so closely at Krishna and look at his lotus eyes and his perfectly formed nose and his cheeks, which reflected the earrings that he was wearing on his ears. And she decorated him. And Krishna was so pleased with the devotion with which she served him, he decided to end her trivakraness and transform her into the most beautiful young lady. So Krishna, and by the way, this trivakra, this kubja, she was a shakti, or she was an expansion of Satyabhama, or the Bhu potency, the Bhu shakti. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that she was, the Bhu potency is the earth. So she was hunched over, carrying the burden of the demonic forces in this world. And this is who Krishna had come to remove. Yada yada hidamas ya glaniya bhavati bharata. So Krishna was going to remove the burden of the earth in this way. So he did it with everyone watching, because everyone had their eyes on Krishna. He did it in his own special way. He put his lotus feet on her toes. And then he took his two fingers like this and put it under her chin and went zoop. And suddenly she was completely straightened out and was the most, most, most beautiful of young ladies. And she looked at Krishna, who had already attracted completely her mind, and he had just performed this act that had transformed her. And she said, "Oh, beautiful boy, I cannot leave you now. Please, please come to my home. And I will take care of you." And she held onto his cloth as saying this. And everyone was watching this. And Krishna became somewhat shy. He looked at Balaram, Dauji, because the rasas weren't completely compatible, because there's so much vatsalya, parental love in Dauji. And then he looked at all the cowherd boys and he just started laughing. He said, "Oh, look what kind of jokes this girl is making." And he said, "My dear girl, it is not proper to talk like this in front of all these people. They may get the wrong idea. And what did you mean when you invited me to come to your house? Did you invite me for dinner?" And when she said, when Krishna said, "That is not proper to you for you to speak like this. People might get the wrong idea," she replied, "It's not my fault. You touched me." And that touch filled me with so much love for you. What can I do? And then Krishna, being very, very, very clever, he said, "You are just the kind of girl that can satisfy all of us." He actually said, "My beautiful girl." And in that way, he let her know that he was accepting her. But then he said, "Yes, you can satisfy Yuvan." He used the plural word. "Yes, we will come to your house." And actually, he said, "Eshyami, we will come. I will come." He said, that was the Sanskrit, the singular. "I will come. You can satisfy us all." So he accepted her request, and in fact, he did come, but then he immediately covered it by saying, "Yes, Yuvan, we will come and visit you." Krishna is very clever. And then he said, just see how humorous this girl is in what she's doing. And then he kept walking after promising her he will come. And when he did come, after he went to Gurukula, and it is so, when I read this part, the amazing qualities of Krishna, how inconceivably, uniquely, how he acts, and ununderstandably how he acts. He sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, and there he pacified, this is in the 46th chapter of the 10th canto, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Then he went to the gopis and delivered Krishna's messages to the gopis, and then he returned after 6 months in Vrindavan, and Krishna immediately asked, "How are the residents of Vrindavan doing without me?" And then Uddhava told him, he told him about Srimati Radharani and the gopis and the depth of their love for him, and how much they could not live without him. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, they could survive. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur sings a song, and in that song he says that when Krishna heard of the love of Srimati Radharani for him from Uddhava, at that moment he decided to come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste that inconceivable love that Srimati Radharani had for him, that it was beyond his own understanding. He wanted to experience that. So that is described in the 48th chapter of the 10th canto at the very beginning. And then the next thing that Krishna does is go to the house of Kubja. Immediately. He's amazing. And inconceivable. So after leaving Kubja, he walked further down the road and he went to see the Vaishyas. Then came out and worshipped him before the Brahmins worshipped him and the ladies of Mathura worshipped him, and then the Vaishyas worshipped him with different articles, and then the ladies worshipped him, other ladies. And Srila Sukadev Goswami describes how they just stared at Krishna, so charmed by him. They stared at him as if they were figures in a painting. They were stunned in ecstasy. And everyone in Mathura was so amazed that this boy, Krishna, was just walking through the city on the royal road, on Kamsa's own road, fearlessly glancing at everyone, and so beautiful, without a care in the world. And he asked the people where the bow was. The bow was going to be worshipped on the next day, on Chaturdasi, the day of Lord Shiva, and it was Lord Shiva's bow. Now there's a wonderful explanation of where this bow came from, and I will just say it in brief, very, very briefly. This bow was given to Lord Shiva by Lord Vishnu himself. And then that bow was given by Lord Shiva to Kamsa. And when Lord Shiva gave it to Kamsa, he told him that if anyone ever breaks this bow, that breaker of the bow will be the cause of your death. So Krishna asked the residents of Mathura, where is the bow where is the bow being held? Where is it being kept? And it was so powerful, it was compared to Indra's bow. And do you know what Indra's bow is? The rainbow that goes from one end of the horizon to the other. And it was guarded by many, many, many guards who were worshipping that bow and respecting it in many ways. And when Krishna walked forward with Balaram and the cowherd boys, they stopped him, or rather, they tried to stop him. And Krishna did not care for them at all. He pushed them aside and he walked over to that bow and picked it up and strung it and pulled it back, and that bow cracked. And Kamsa heard that crack and he knew that Krishna, would be his death, was in Mathura. And from then on, he did not sleep. He sent more guards, because those guards attacked Krishna immediately after his breaking the bow. And Balaram picked up one half of the bow and Krishna the other. And they beat them and killed them. And the reinforcements that came were killed by Krishna and Balaram. And then Krishna went continuing his tour of the city. As the sun was setting, carefree, "Oh, Balaram, look at this gate. Look how nice this gate is. And look at these jewels over here. And look at this. Look at this. And they walked back to their camp outside the city, laughing, jolly with their friends. And they ate the rice and milk from Braja that Mother Yashoda had sent due to the message that Krishna had sent back to her. And very peacefully, the two brothers and their friends slept under the carts that they had come in. But Nanda Maharaj could not sleep. He was thinking, "Why have I brought my two boys here? They are so restless. They have broken the bow. Who knows what Kamsa will do now? I should not have brought him. I should not have brought them." He could not sleep all night long, worrying in ecstatic love about Krishna and Balaram. And there was one other person in the city who also did not sleep. And that person was Kamsa. Fearfully, with his eyes open, he could not see his own footsteps inauspicious. He could not see his shadow, he saw his shadow, which had a hole in it. And when he closed his eyes, he had terrible dreams that caused him great fear. And the next morning, when the sun rose,